I am Platt on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Richard Wolf joins me again. The artistic and producing director of Pi Theatre is on to preview their 2021 Provocateurs presentation series. It starts tomorrow evening with Macbeth Muet, a show that deconstructs a Shakespeare tragedy. It is created by John Lachlan Stewart and Hélène Bélanger-Dumas and will be live streamed tomorrow, February 18th, and Friday, the 19th of February, for Montreal's Maison Internationale des Arts de la Marionnette at 7 p.m. Pacific and 10 p.m. there in Quebec. Then this Saturday and Sunday, the 20th and 21st, at 4 p.m. Pacific from Halifax's Bus Stop Theatre is a national premiere of Frequencies. It's a multimedia storytelling show created and starring Aaron Collier. Richard will tell us about each show, as well as how to access the feeds off their website, pietheatre.com. Prices and other information can be had there. I'll ask Richard about what we might expect with the arts here and elsewhere in the age of COVID. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Richard Wolf. Mr. Wolf, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
So what has it been like for the last year or so for you and Pi Theatre?
I guess in my work life, when you're working in the arts, there's a kind of a real overlap. So I think it's almost in some ways one and the same. There's a lot of things are up in the air, as everybody knows. There are questions about the future that sort of happen in the long term and even on the day to day. So in the long term, when the pandemic started last spring, we were about to go into rehearsal for a Canadian premiere called Lampedusa about human migration. And we were 1 week away from starting rehearsal when everything got shut down.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, okay, what should I do now? Because in Vancouver Theatre, a performance, I don't know if your listeners are familiar, but there aren't a lot of venues, so companies like ours have to book venues a year in advance.
Uh-huh.
I had one booked, actually, for this April, and I thought, well, okay, fine, I'll move Lampedusa to this April. Probably we'll be able to do 50 people. And now, today, I'm thinking, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that theaters or performance spaces will be open, even for 50 people. And it's very expensive to put together all of the, even just the collateral, like bus shelter, advertising posters,
right.
Very expensive. So right now I have to kind of make a decision about whether or not we're going to go ahead with this project in April. In the meantime,
right.
back in June, we thought, well, people are exploring this digital phenomenon. And again, as your listeners know, Zoom was created as a business platform for meetings mostly. And
yep.
All of a sudden it becomes kind of the go-to platform for artistic experimentation and a new way of storytelling and such. So we were looking at all of that and looking at digital presentations and we did what was ostensibly a fundraiser. It was called the Cabin Fever Fundraiser, and we commissioned a number of artists just to make short digital pieces about their, you know, whatever was moving them at the time.
Uh-huh.
And we played those, and we had companies from around the country and a lot of local people. It was a way to get money into the hands of artists as well. And that was, we enjoyed that. And then another thing came around called the National Transformations Project. And a while back, there was a live cabaret series called The Wrecking Ball, which is a political cabaret. It started in Toronto, but it took place across the country. As live, again, live cabaret, one-night political cabaret. And the originators of it in Toronto felt, well, let's do a digital version. So they did something, they put together something called the National Transformations Project. And again, it was a way to get money into the hands of artists who, you know, are struggling at the best of times, most of us, financially. I mean, it's difficult. So the idea was to do short commissions how one would envision the Canada of the future, how it could be better. And so we commissioned three artists, and there were 20 companies, I believe, from across the country who commissioned artists in their local area. And all of these short videos were put onto the National Arts Center website, where they remain.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us kind of to today. Now what we're doing, again, because it's so uncertain, the idea of gathering live in a physical space is so uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
The Pi Provocateurs presentation series, which has been going since 2017, and focuses, that series focuses on theatrical or performance experiences in largely non-traditional spaces by innovative and explosive artists from across the country. So we had something called Pearl Harbor Chautauqua in a tent in response to Alabama scattered throughout the Russian Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We had lady parts, female-centered sketch comedy in a bar setting, a bar cabaret setting. Again, we couldn't do that now.
Yeah.
And I noticed back in the, again, in the summer, I started really paying attention to live streaming works from around the world. I was trying to find the best of live streams from performance artists. And there was a distinction that I made between, and I still make, between live stream and on-demand video.
Right.
And in my mind, live streaming, live in real time, is a kind of a cousin to performance. A little bit like live television was way back in the 1950s.
Yeah.
And I see it as much different than what you would get in a packaged thing that you could just buy and stream whenever you want. Because like theater, it has two ingredients I think are central to the theater experience. And those are proximity and immediacy. So in the live performance experience, we're sitting beside somebody, and we're showering in their hormones and pheromones if the piece is tense or if it's emotional, and we can hear people gasping and
mm-hmm.
And laughing, which is great as proximity. But also, we are sharing an emotional or an intellectual experience, a moment. In real time, we're sharing it together. We're focused on the same thing, and we know that others are sharing this experience. And live stream has that. And I particularly noticed it in the Side Door stuff that Dan Mangan runs. It was a music piece, and it was on Zoom. And you could look at the gallery view and see everybody in their living rooms, and how crazy that is. All of a sudden, we see in everybody's house, which is completely new.
Yeah.
And so we see them on their beds or in their living rooms or whatever. And they're all watching the same, and they're in Berlin or Toronto or Vancouver, and they're all watching the same music performance. And I thought, this is kind of magical. It also gives us the immediacy of a performance. If you're live streaming something, anything can happen. The performer can trip over a wire and fall down.
Mm.
There could be other technical issues. They can forget their lines. Or there might be just some real electricity that happens one time only. So we are taking our Pi performance, our Pi Provocateurs performance into the live streaming world with two shows back-to-back on the 18th and 19th we have one, and on the 20th and 21st we have one of February. And one of them is, the first one is called Macbeth Mouwe. And it was here, live. Actually, we were community presentation partners in that show when they were here. They're from Montreal.
Uh-huh.
But they got some money in Montreal to investigate the live streaming option. And they were investigating a couple of things. One, how does it work when a camera person is holding a camera and following the action? It's almost like it's another character, the eye of the camera.
Right.
It's a handheld camera in this case, and it's moving in and around this this portrayal or this story, this telling, pardon me, of Macbeth, without any words. They tell the entire play in about 50 minutes without any words. And it's extraordinary. It's an amazing piece. So there is that option, the one screen kind of option.
Right.
And then they developed, or they were working with on this idea of a kind of backstage camera, if you will. And if the viewer, the patron, the audience member chooses to buy the ticket for the backstage cam, then they get the choice of four cameras that are happening live. Again, this is all live in real time.
Yeah.
Four cameras that they can choose between to enlarge the image and put it in the center of their computer screen or their screen. And then they'll have the other three cameras as thumbnails on the bottom, what the other three cameras see. And they can bring up those, any of those at any time, and make those larger. So there's a kind of an interesting dynamic there that the viewer has. The other ticket version is it's focused on the camera that the individual is holding and moving around to capture the action. And sometimes the actors take the camera from the camera operator and kind of use it themselves. In the first one, where you get all these choices, it's cool, and some people are going to love that. They get to see sort of from behind the action and from above the action.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah. But it, in some ways, may take you a little bit out of the emotional experience because you're looking at the cameras along the bottom going, oh, I wonder what I should choose now. On the other hand, that can be a very cool experience in and of itself.
Yeah.
Whereas the larger the view, the central view, the central camera allows you to sort of fall into the action.
And this is streamed live from Montreal, is it, Richard?
That's right, streamed live from Montreal.
That's the other fun thing about these productions, because Frequencies, which is from Halifax, they'll be done in those cities, and so there's a time zone difference. But so you have to be at your computer screen or phone or whatever at a specific time, which is just like the theater. You can't be late, I guess. Well, you can be late, but you shouldn't be late, right?
That's right. Yeah, and we worked about, we really had to figure out, well, what would be a good time? Because, they can't do it at 1 in the morning necessarily, right? So the Macbeth piece, we're going to screen it, it'll be at 7 o'clock in Vancouver, but it will be at 10 p.m. in Montreal. And anybody else that wants to watch it from across the country, well, it's going to be, in your time zone.
Yeah.
And then Frequencies is going to be at 4 p.m. because it's a four-hour difference in Halifax.
Right.
So it's 8 o'clock already their time when they're going to start it there.
Would you tell us about that show? I understand Aaron Collier, he's created the show, and he's the star of it, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's a show about... it's a mixed reality performance that's viewed through the eyes of a second actor wearing a virtual reality headset. So you see Aaron on the stage with his keyboards. He's a musician, and there's live music in the piece. And this other actor is looking through virtual reality headset. What you see on the screen is what she sees through the virtual reality headset in the Oculus headset. So he's kind of in an empty space, but it's going to be filled with a kind of fantastical, poetic kind of backdrops and movement and such. And the show is an investigation that Aaron is doing about a real life situation where he lost an older brother before he got a chance to know that person. Lost him in a traffic, a car accident of some kind. And the spirit of his brother has always been in the family, in the house and around. And he's investigating the idea of frequencies, literally frequencies in nature, in music and sound and light, and how these things are all around us all the time in the same way that this person's energy has been around him through his whole life. So it's quite poetic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's co-written, actually, by a woman named Francesca Ekwuyazi, whose book Butter, Honey, Pig was nominated nominated for a Giller Prize, and who right now is a finalist in the Canada Reads, CBC's Canada Reads competition. She's one of the five finalists. So she's a co-writer of Aaron's piece. And I said, well, how did you do that? You have a couple of co-writers. How did that work? And apparently, Aaron would create a kind of podcast, not quite what we're doing now, but an audio telling of his story. And they listened to it, and these other two people constructed the script and whatnot, and they did back and forth. So a very unique development process as well.
It's really remarkable listening to you describe these shows because they're innovative, obviously, and they give us a view as to the future and how theater, how art will be presented. And I guess that's what the pandemic's done. It's sort of thrust us into the future a little more quickly, I suppose, than we might have expected.
It certainly accelerated things, that's for sure. I mean, a few years back, I thought, well, digital access is kind of cheapening everything, in the sense that it's so easy for us to get a million different, literally different songs on demand or films on demand, and,
yeah.
You know, and everything seems so easy. You know, maybe what theater or performance has to do is take a year off, and, you know, just everybody that does it should just stop. And then maybe when they come back, then audiences and everybody just sort of generally will be a little bit more appreciative of what that live experience is and how it contributes to our lives and to our communities. And but I never thought it would happen.
Yeah.
And now it kind of has, and it might be as long as, you know, 18 months or something. And so I'm very excited to see how people are going to respond to their first big live experience when it's back, you know, going to the Commodore or going.
Sure, yeah.
Now, as far as all this digital stuff goes, it's demonstrated a certain environmental benefit, you know, so you don't have to move things around physically all the time. It's also provided access for people that can't perhaps physically get to a particular space for one reason or another. So we believe, I'm talking the big we, sort of, you know, in general, in the arts, think that the digital presence will be kind of an adjunct to the live experience going forward to one degree or another, depending on the resources of the company.
Yeah, and it'll be fascinating to see how long that stays, or whether that's the future as well, because you mentioned 18 months ago as a sort of rough figure that we all have in our minds as to when things get back to normal, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's just exciting. I mean, you're connecting with theater companies that you mentioned the Macbeth Mouet show. I mean, that came here. But there, you know, there are other shows that possibly could not have come to Vancouver before, now that Vancouverites are able to see them, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's important, I feel, for the blood of Canada, you know, being it's the people that live in the country, to circulate, whether it's through art or even just visiting, like going to other places or somehow, you know, exposing yourself to other parts of the country. But I feel art does that very well, and you're right. I mean, it's difficult to fly to Toronto. It's not difficult, but it was expensive. It takes time and, you know, effort and such. But in this case, yes, we're getting a show from Montreal, we're getting a show from Halifax, and in March we've got one from Toronto, and they're all going to be here for us, you know, live in real time from those places, and so we get to experience that, what other people are doing in other parts of the country, which I think is important.
Well, we'll look forward to Macbeth Mouet and Frequencies. People can get information for both on the Pi Theater website. I appreciate your time today. Thanks for this, Richard.
Oh, it's terrific speaking with you. Thank you very much for having me on.
The website for more is pitheater.com. Macbeth Mouet is Thursday the 18th and Friday the 19th at 7 p.m. Pacific live. Frequencies is live at 4 p.m. Pacific. Saturday the 20th and 21st. Pitheater.com is the website again. The artistic and producing director of Pi Theater, Richard Wolf, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.